Hello there. My name is Cheryl, and you are listening to the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. So again, I have been working my way through discussing all 11 of the live-action Star Wars films in chronological order. Last week, we wrapped up the prequels with Revenge of the Sith, and so this week we are talking about Solo, because Solo and Rogue One both take place before the original trilogy. Obviously, if you've seen Rogue One, you know that it happens literally right before A New Hope. So Solo happened before that. So that's kind of why we're doing the order that we're doing. So this week we're going to talk about Solo. After we finish discussing that, I've got some weekly Star Wars news to talk about at the end of the podcast. And then we'll wrap everything up. So that's what we're doing today. Let's go ahead and get started. Hey guys, so this week again we're talking about Solo, a Star Wars story. This movie came out in May of 2018. I remember when it came out, I had actually planned this trip that kind of revolved around it, but not exactly. So I was living in Florida at the time. I had an annual pass to Disney World. And Orlando was also having a kind of Comic-Con called MegaCon Orlando, and they got some good guests that I wanted to see. And this was the weekend that Solo came out. There was a special event for it to see the movie at Disney Springs, the AMC that is there. So you got tickets to the special event. It was opening night. You got a poster, and you got some of the dice that feature in the movie, which was a really cool thing to get. So I bought a ticket to that. Also, Disney World was having their second Galactic Knights event at Hollywood Studios. Now, this was before Galaxy's Edge opened up at Disney World. And the first Galactic Knights event that was at Disney World was for Celebration, Star Wars Celebration 2017 in Orlando, and they had a Galactic Knights event then, and it sold out, and I went to it. It was a really cool event, and it was the coolest part of it maybe was hanging out there. You didn't have to wait in lines for anything for too long. They had some special, they had like this puzzle on your badge that you had to go and get stickers that were pieces of the puzzle that was kind of fun to do. And one of the coolest things about that event was actually seeing the stars, because they had celebs there that were at Star Wars Celebration that they invited to come for this Galactic Knights event as well. And I remember being with a friend of mine, and we were sitting down eating, and I had ordered these Star Wars cupcakes, and one of them was a Darth Vader cupcake, and it had a little chocolate Darth Vader head on top of it. And I ate that chocolate, and I looked up like seconds later and saw Hayden Christensen walking by carrying his daughter. So it was just kind of freaky to me to see that. I'm like, whoa, I just took a bite of Darth Vader's head and I look up and he's walking by. It's kind of surreal, but that was a fun event. So I also went to MegaCon, and Jonas, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, Suotamo, but he was there, was a guest, and I met him. I got a Chewie Funko Pop signed. It was really cool to meet him. So it was kind of a Solo Star Wars weekend for me. And also my friend Michelle, who I just want to give her a shout out on this podcast, because she is not even a Star Wars fan at all. She actually now has seen one of the Star Wars movies, and I'll tell that story here in a second. But she joined me that weekend. She went to MegaCon. We had fun there. She went to Disney World with me. She didn't go see Solo, but the funny part of this story is that she actually, so this week I had a Netflix watch party because Solo is still on Netflix, and you can go to, if you go to netflixparty.com, there is a browser plugin that you can get for the Google Chrome browser that allows you to watch a Netflix movie and have a chat window going in the side, and you can chat with people that are watching it in the same time as you. So you start this Netflix party, you go to Netflix, you start up the movie, you click on the Netflix party button on your browser, and it opens up this chat window, and it gives you a link, and you can send people that also have this plugin, you send them the link, and they click it, they go to it, it opens up their Netflix and takes them to the same chat window so you guys can watch the movie and talk about it together. And since Solo is on Netflix still, and that's how I was watching it, I decided I would try out this watch party thing, and I kind of invited people over Twitter a couple of days ahead of time. I wasn't really expecting people to join me, honestly. I thought maybe I might get one or two, but I talked to Michelle, and she's never seen any Star Wars movie up until this point, and she didn't go see it with me in the theater. But she didn't have anything else going on that day, so she logged in and we watched Solo together. So I was able to introduce her to her first Star Wars movie, and I'm sure there's a lot of the things that I'll talk about today that she missed out on because she hasn't seen any of the other movies, but I think she enjoyed it. So who knows? Maybe we've got a Star Wars fan. We'll find out in the future, I guess. But thank you for joining me, Michelle, if you happen to be listening. So that's kind of the story of when I first saw Solo. It was a great weekend, great time for me. I really enjoyed the movie too. I know it got some critical reception. I think people had seen The Last Jedi and kind of didn't really like The Last Jedi. It kind of took a lot of things and flipped them upside down, and people were unhappy, and so they didn't go see Solo. And maybe it just didn't get hyped up enough, but I know a lot of people didn't see it. And some people just weren't impressed with it, I guess, but I actually really liked it. I've talked to other people that have, so, I know at the end of the movie, they kind of focus on it being open for a sequel. There's some things that you kind of wonder, hey, what happened after this? So I know there are people pulling for that sequel. Anytime you see a mention of this movie on Twitter, somebody's replied or retweeted it and added hashtag make Solo 2 happen. So there is a movement out there for that. So hopefully we will get a Solo 2 because I would like to see some more about this story. So what do I like about this movie? So I think another part of people's problem that they had with this movie was that our Han Solo that we all know and we're fond of is Harrison Ford. And obviously he is too old at this point He's too old at this point to play a younger Han Solo, and we needed a new actor for this role. And the actor that was picked was Alden Ehrenreich. I hope I'm saying his name correctly too. I probably should have Googled and made sure I'm saying these names right before I started the podcast, but whatever. So Alden was chosen. I think he did a great job. I know some people have a hard time because they don't see him as the Harrison Ford Han Solo, but I know he did sit down and have a talk with Harrison Ford, kind of worked with him a little bit before he made this movie and took on the role. But I think he did a really good job. Sometimes he may not sound like Han Solo to you, but to me, I think he actually mastered a really great young Han Solo personality. So our youngest Harrison Ford Han Solo that we have is from Star Wars A New Hope, episode 4. And I really think that Alden did a good job of being the Han Solo right before that. I think a lot of his personality, his sassy smuggler personality comes out in this movie as well. And I think I really like the job that Alden did, and I was happy with it. So another actor in this movie that people really do like, I think, is Donald Glover as Lando. He was really great, and I think he captured Billy Dee Williams' Lando personality really well. I think he took on the role and just was fabulous in it. It's so funny. I have a friend who he looks a lot like a young Billy Dee Williams. Like he looks like Lando. Like if he was an actor and could pull this off, I think he would have done a great job in playing Lando in this movie just because he's got that look. But yeah, his name's David. He's probably not listening, but if you are listening, David, I wanted to give you a shout out. He's got a picture on Facebook where he's standing in front of a picture of Billy Dee Williams as Lando, and you can totally see the similarities, and it's pretty awesome. But Donald Glover did a great job. He's the perfect Lando, perfect young Lando. A newcomer, a new character actually in this movie is Kira, played by Emilia Clarke, who is from Game of Thrones fame. We know her as Daenerys Targaryen on Game of Thrones, the Khaleesi. And Kira was a really interesting character, I thought, played off of Han Solo and kind of played into his backstory. And she just turned out to be more interesting than we thought at the beginning. But there's kind of a lot going on with her, and I think there's a lot of story, a lot more story that could be written about her and Crimson Dawn, and I would love to know more about it. So another reason I think that a Solo 2 movie would be a good move. A couple other actors in this movie that I think did a great job. Woody Harrelson as Beckett, kind of an unexpected big name. And also Paul Bettany as Dryden Voss. He's one that I met as well. I actually went to another con shortly after the MegaCon Orlando one. I ended up going to my first Ace Comic Con in Seattle, and I did not go to meet him, but I did like the Star Wars connection there. Paul Bettany plays Vision in the Marvel movies, and he does a great job at that, and he was also Dryden Voss in this movie, and I had just seen it, and I went to Ace Comic Con, and he was there, and so I got to meet him, and he is just a really super nice guy. I got a photo with him that I got signed. He gave me a great hug. Just super nice guy. And I think he was a fun character as Dryden Voss as well. I'd honestly like to see some more of his backstory and how he got to where he got up in Crimson Dawn. I would love to see more about Dryden Voss. So, and Beckett's whole gang, that was a fun interaction between Woody Harrelson and Thandie Newton. And it just, there's some really fun characters in this movie. So, but what I really love about this movie, probably more than anything, and I know a lot of people will just call this fan service, but I love finding out the interconnectivity between the Star Wars movies. There's these movies that have been around for 40 plus years, and there's these little details that are in them that we just don't even know, and other people come along and write backstory for those details. And I love it. That's one thing I really love about Star Wars. And there's a lot of that in this movie, which is part of the reason that I enjoyed it so much. So some of the throwbacks, kind of the backstory that we get to find out how Han meets Chewie. And Chewbacca in this movie was played by Jonas. And we get to see how they meet. And it's so funny in this scene that cracks me up because Han is being punished basically. And they're like, let's throw him in with the beast. And when I watched this movie the first time, as soon as they said the beast, I'm like, oh my gosh, I know what's going to happen. And sure enough, they threw him in with Chewie and they kind of almost got into a fight in the beginning and they were both chained up. And, all of a sudden, Han sunk in the mud and he starts to speak in Wookiee. And it's like, whoa, what, you know? And then I just love the line and Chewie looks at him and Han's like, yeah, I speak a little. And I feel like the way he delivered that line was so perfect Han Solo to me. That to me just clinched it that I think that he did a great job of playing Han Solo and capturing that personality. And just the way he delivered that line, for some reason, I just loved it. So another throwback, obviously, we have Lando in Empire Strikes Back is when we first meet him. And Han knows him. We don't know how they know each other, but we get to find out in this movie, and I love that. It's so cool to see how their relationship started and playing cards and playing sabacc. And you find out at the end of the movie that that's how Han won the Millennium Falcon. And this is another thing that was mentioned in previous movies, and we never knew until now, you know, exactly how that story went. And I just think it's awesome to see all of this and go back to the beginning and see how some of these things that are mentioned in other movies actually happened. So we see how Han won the Millennium Falcon. Another thing that's cool that I mean, there's just so many things in this movie that to me, I'm like, wow, I'm like, I didn't even realize that I wanted to know that, but I found out and now I'm glad I know. And one of those things is the Kessel Run. So it's funny how this started as literally one infamous line in A New Hope when we first meet Han Solo, and Obi-Wan and Luke are trying to recruit him to take them to Alderaan. And he's on Tatooine, he's in the cantina, and he is talking to them, and they're like talking about his ship, and they're like, oh, is it fast? And he's like, are you kidding? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon? And it's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. And that one line has become so famous regarding the Millennium Falcon, which is essentially this epic ship, honestly, that we just see so much in the original trilogy and has just become iconic in Star Wars. But we find out about that Kessel Run. We find out what it is. We find out. You know, how the ship made the run in less than 12 parsecs and why that's a big deal. And I love that. So another thing that we find out that I didn't realize that I even wondered, but Han's last name, so Han Solo. So, you know, he's joining the Empire and he gives them his name and they're like, well, what's your last name? And he doesn't really have one. He's like, oh, you're just by yourself. So that's where his last name came from. He's literally Han Solo, which was really cool. Another thing, going back to the Millennium Falcon. So another character in this movie is Lando's droid, L337, which just her name is funny to me because it's like this play on what we used to call back in the internet, old internet days, elite speak, and that was spelled L33T or L337, and her name is L337. They call her L3 in the movie. And so, spoiler alert, she kind of dies, the droid dies, but she's a great personality and it's a lot of fun, and she's great with navigation, and they end up basically putting her into the Millennium Falcon. And so that is cool to see that there's this reason behind why the Millennium Falcon is such an awesome ship, and she's part of it. And that was a cool thing to see. Also, as I mentioned before, so you got Han's dice, which played a bigger role in this movie. I mean, not a huge role, but they did. It was kind of a little thing throughout the movie with the dice, and they were his lucky dice, and he hung them up in the Millennium Falcon, and they are actually hanging there. You can see them in A New Hope, and it's a little thing that probably nobody ever catches, and it's something that they picked up and they played on it and expanded with it in this movie and also in The Last Jedi as well. And I love that. I love little things like that. So something else, towards the end of the movie, when Han is talking to Tobias Beckett, and Beckett's basically betrayed him, and, you know, he told him, don't trust anybody. And The funny thing about this is that they're talking and Beckett starts to say something and Han shoots him. And I think the funniest thing about that is this goes back to the original movie. When the original movies came out, they're sitting in the cantina and Han is talking to Greedo and Greedo's after him and Han shoots him. Well, in the first movies, everybody knows Han shot first. And then when the new editions of the movies came out, now the ones that you can buy, Greedo starts to shoot. And Han didn't shoot first in that version. So the thing that just makes everybody mad, obviously, we all know the story of why Han shot first. Well, in this movie, Han definitely shot first. And they played that up for a reason. And I think that that's funny. One other quick thing to note is when Han and Lando are talking and they just made the Kessel Run and the ship is a mess. The Millennium Falcon is a mess. And Lando's mad at Han and he looks at him and he goes, "I hate you." And Han is like, his answer is, "I know," which is funny because going back to the famous line from Empire Strikes Back, Han goes into the carbonite and Leia's standing there and she says, "I love you." And Han says, "I know." So just, I love the parallels. I love the throwbacks, the details that we learned that we didn't even know that we wanted. I think that is all super cool. And that's one of the things that I love the most about this movie. So that's what I like. I've been asking you guys, if you're listening, to please call in or go to my Anchor page and click on message and send me a voice message to talk about what you think about these movies, because it's just me talking and I know people get sick hearing my voice. I love to have some feedback and some other things to listen to in the podcast. And I love to hear what other people think about all of these movies and have some contributions to the discussion. So I've got a couple of people that have left me a message and I'm going to include their thoughts here. So first one, this one is from Rural Farm Boy on Twitter. His Twitter handle is @arruralfarmboy. This is Anthony. So let's hear what Anthony has to say about Solo.
Firstly, Solo, it taught me a valuable lesson. It was back, we learned about this story back at Celebration Anaheim that we were going to be told this story. And I was among some of them first few fans that was going bouts. Asking, well, why do we need this? Why that story? And after I went, sat down, and watched it, the lesson it taught me was don't ever go think or speak like that again. Because it was a really good story. There's never a Star Wars story about what we want or need. If folks are doing that, then they're asking for the letting themselves down. No, that was a really, really good story. Really fun. And feeling a little bit badly for it because it didn't do quite as well as it could have. And well, Lucasfilm makes them, but Disney didn't market this right. They didn't give it near enough time. They was telling folks about it somewhere middle of February before it came out. And then a few months after it came out, and it had a lot of other things going on around it, but nearly most folks didn't know about it. And they're just now catching up and finding out that this is a really good story.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts, Rural Farm Boy. Some interesting things. I definitely agree with you a lot about this. The thought of why do we need this? And that there's never a Star Wars story about what we want or need. I mean, none of these stories have to be written. Like, you know, we have this original trilogy that was written 40 years ago by George Lucas, gave us this story. And it's a cool story. It's done great for the last 40 years. And we don't need anything additional. I mean, we didn't have to have the prequels. We didn't have to have the sequel trilogy. We didn't have to have Solo or Rogue One or any of the many books that have been written about Star Wars since then. We didn't really need any of them. I mean, this is to grow this epic space fantasy that exists. I mean, to add stories to it, it's a cool universe, this galaxy far, far away. So yeah, you're right. We don't necessarily need any of these. I mean, Rogue One didn't have to be told. I can't tell you that before it came out, I never really wondered about those Death Star plans and how Leia obtained them. I mean, didn't even occur to me. So yeah, that didn't need to be written either. But yet, people love it. People love knowing about it. And honestly, with Solo specifically, I love hearing more of Han Solo's story. I think he's a great character, and I think that any of the backstory that we could find out about him, or almost any of the Star Wars characters to me, any more backstory that we could find out, any more details, I find it all fascinating. So I kind of, all these complaints that people make, like the same thing, why do we need this? This isn't necessary. Or, you know, I don't like how this story went, which is essentially what we keep hearing about The Rise of Skywalker, you know, or even The Last Jedi. People didn't like them. And, you know, it's, they're stories. People wrote them for entertainment. It's a story that somebody else wrote. You are watching it or listening to it or reading it. And you may or may not like it. Okay, it's a story. It's entertainment about, you know, like fictional people. So, I mean, if you don't like it, go out and write your own. I mean, I know people just kind of throw that out there and say it, but I just like hearing these. I mean, I kind of, you know, I didn't like The Last Jedi at first, and I didn't think I had any Star Wars expectations at all, but turns out that I do, or I did apparently when I saw it. But after I saw it, I kind of learned that lesson. I kind of learned, you know, I mean, this may not have gone how I expected it to go, but that doesn't mean it's not a good story, and that doesn't mean that it's not entertaining, which is what we're expected to get out of it. So that's kind of how I think about it when people complain about these stories and this character didn't do what I wanted them to do, or, you know, whatever. So got some more thoughts here. One more person that left me a message. This is Jimmy. He is at Old Guy Jedi on Twitter. So here's his thoughts about Solo.
Hey, Jedi fangirl. Super excited that you're tackling Solo. I'm very unusual when it comes to this movie. It is absolutely my favorite Star Wars movie in the Disney era. And most days, it's my favorite Star Wars movie ever, which I know was kind of weird. Most people didn't like it, thought it was unnecessary. But think about it, all the movies are unnecessary, and we love them anyways. And, you know, obviously, it's created a culture. Some of the things I love, the little things, the coaxium price increasing every single time, the way Rio Durant says Wookie, small mentions are saying getting pushed off the cliff, and then Chewie. Absolutely love Chewie, ripping people's arms off, playing Jajaric, doing everything he does. It's like that character finally came to life for me and is one of my top Star Wars characters. I thought Lando was awesome, L337. I mean, just all of it was so much fun. It was just a really fun movie people need to chill out about.
All right. Well, thanks for your thoughts, Jimmy. Some interesting things that you noted there about the coaxium price. I don't think I've ever noticed that before, so that's something I'm going to have to pay some closer attention to the next time I watch the movie. Also, I love the way that Rio says Wookie, too. It's so funny. Just a fun little tidbit there. Also, I like what you said about the different characters, Chewie, Lando, L337. Just finding out about more about like Chewie and Lando and seeing their backstory, I agree that I feel like it makes us love them even more. I just love finding out more backstory about these characters. So again, thank you for your thoughts. Thanks for sending me a message. So that kind of wraps up the discussion about Solo. So let's talk about, do we want a Solo sequel? I think that it sounds like people do. I think there's people out there that haven't even seen Solo that would appreciate it if they saw it. I have a friend that she's also a big Star Wars fan. I don't know if she's listening, but I don't think she's seen Solo yet. And I think that She should. Anybody that's a fan, especially if you're a fan of the original trilogy, I think that Solo's got a lot of so-called fan service in there and covers a lot of details that we wouldn't know otherwise. And it's just a fun movie. I mean, do we need it? No, but we don't need any of these additional stories, honestly, like I said earlier. So they are definitely fun to have. So if you do want to see a Solo sequel, and I definitely do, feel free to go out there, tweet about my podcast, send people to listen to it, and use the hashtag #MakeSolo2Happen so that it gets seen. And maybe one of these days we will get that sequel that we would like. So next week, the podcast is going to be discussing Rogue One. I know a lot of people out there have thoughts about this one. So if you do, go to anchor.fm/Jedi-fangirl. Click on the message button and leave me a message. I think it can be up to 1 minute. Send me a voice message and I will likely feature your thoughts on next week's podcast. Or if you don't want to do that, send me an email at Cheryl, Sheryl, at JediFangirl.com. Send me your thoughts. I would love to hear them and feature them on next week's podcast when we discuss Rogue One. So again, we'll be coming up here in a second with some Star Wars news for this week. Thanks for listening. Okay, well, let's talk about some Star Wars news that came out this week. You know, you guys, isn't it crazy that we literally get some new news about Star Wars every single week? There is always something new out there. And, you know, that's fascinating to me considering that this all started from these three movies that were a trilogy that have been around for 40 years. And there's still something new that comes out related to them every single week. And I just think it's awesome. So one of the things I love about Star Wars. So as far as this week, we have a new young adult novel that was announced called Poe Dameron Freefall. And I think I've mentioned it before. I love the character of Poe. I think he is great. Love Oscar Isaac. He's on my bucket list of celebs to meet one day. So hopefully that might become possible. But this young adult novel is going to be about Poe. It's going to be about his backstory, probably before he was involved in the Resistance. We found out in Rise of Skywalker that he was actually a spice runner. So it sounds like this young adult novel might actually cover some of that time to find out more about that story. It's going to be by Alex Segura, who I will admit I've never heard of him before, but apparently, he's the author of a mystery series about a guy named Pete Fernandez, and that series has won some awards, so I'm sure it will be great. That book is due to be out on August the 4th, so we'll be looking forward to that, finding out more about Poe. Also, there's this thing called Project Luminous, and I had not heard about this until recently, but it sounds like it's been in the works for quite a while, and what it is it sounds like it's going to be a group of stories, possibly covering different mediums like books, maybe young adult novels, maybe comics. I honestly don't know because we don't know that much about it yet, but it's developed by Disney Lucasfilm Press. Like I said, it's been in the works for a while now, maybe a couple years. The editor is, and again, I've not heard of some of these people, but some I have heard of. The editor is Michael Siglain. Not sure if I'm saying his name correctly, who is the author of some Star Wars kids books. Also, additional authors that are involved in this project. So you can see how this could potentially be, you know, kind of a grouping of interconnected stories here using different mediums. But it's authored by Kevin Scott, who I've also not heard of. He apparently is the author of some Star Wars adventures books and comics. He did also write, apparently, the Dooku Jedi Lost, which is kind of cool. I haven't listened to it or read all of it yet, but it's an audio drama. It's like an audiobook came out, and it's read by the characters with music. Like, it's more of a dramatization. It's not just reading a book, but there is also a book that came out of the audio drama, the book is in, you know, like kind of like a play form. But anyway, I actually do want to read that or listen to it. But he's one of the authors involved. Also, Claudia Gray, who I love and have mentioned on the podcast before. She wrote Lost Stars, Master and Apprentice, Bloodline, and Leia, Princess of Alderaan. Love her stuff. So I'm excited that she's involved. Charles Soule. I don't think I've heard of him before. Well, I maybe just didn't know his name, but apparently he is the writer of some of the comics, including the Poe Dameron series and The Rise of Kylo Ren, which I've mentioned at least once, I know, on the podcast before. And also Daniel Jose Older. He wrote a novel. I've read part of it. It came out before Solo. It's called Last Shot, and it's a story of Han and Lando, and I think it takes place before The Force Awakens, because I think it talks about Kylo Ren, well, Ben Solo, as a young child, like maybe he was a baby, because I have read part of it. I have the book, but I haven't finished it, so need to go back and revisit. And then also one other author involved in the Project Luminous is Justina Ireland, who has written some junior novels, one called Lando's Luck and Spark of the Resistance, which I think was a lead up to Rise of Skywalker. Haven't read either one of those, but so that should be interesting to see what it is, find out more about Project Luminous. But it's been talked about, but we did find out there is going to be an event held on February 24th where we will find out a lot more about it, it sounds like. So looking forward to that. Also, I mentioned last week there were some rumors going around about the Kenobi series for Disney Plus, and there was the whole possibility that it might get canceled, and then it wasn't canceled, and we found out after I put out my podcast that it's actually been put on hold. I think some of the people have been sent home, or all of the people involved in it have been sent home. So we don't know if that's going to push it back. It's still apparently a thing. It's going to happen as of right now. There's videos about this, but people have talked to Ewan McGregor, and he says it has been pushed to next year. But he doesn't think that that will affect the release date, so that's some good news. I mean, obviously, we want it to be as good as possible, but, you know, I hope it doesn't get pushed back too much, because I know everybody's looking forward to it, myself included. So, and then last but not least, you know, I have to talk about this one more time, and I'll probably still continue to talk about it until it happens in March, but Ace Comic-Con Northeast in Boston in March. So there's not really any new news since last week. There haven't been any new Star Wars guests announced since they announced Matthew Wood, who I mentioned on the podcast last week, plays the voice of General Grievous, is also involved in some of the sound for Star Wars films. But nobody new from Star Wars has been announced since he was, and I'm hoping that there will be some more. It sounds like they want to kind of do an Ace Central, for some of the Star Wars theme, and going by some posts on the forums on Facebook, it sounds like they hopefully might get some other Star Wars guests, which would be really cool. I mentioned last week, I think I'd love to see Dave Filoni. He's probably busy. Or Ashley Eckstein. But yeah, so no new news, but news on my own personal front, I have booked my airline ticket. So I am definitely going, got my dual photo op with Ewan and Hayden. Very excited about that. Excited to see some fandom friends again and hang out with them in Boston. I've also applied for a media pass. So we'll see how that goes. I've gotten them for Star Wars Celebration before. Would love to get one for Ace. I feel like I qualify for it. But I won't find out anything until 2 or 3 weeks before the con, so I won't really find out anything until March. But if I am able to get that, I am looking forward to hopefully being able to interview some of the artists and some of the vendors that are there. I know there's some really cool Star Wars artwork out there, and I would love to talk to some of the artists that are a part of that. So it would be really cool to do that and feature them on the Jedi Fangirl blog. So hopefully that's a possibility. Anyway, so I think that's it for this week. Love talking about Solo, loved rewatching it. And again, next week we're going to talk about Rogue One. So if you have thoughts on Rogue One, I would love to hear about them. go out and leave me a voice message on anchor.fm/Jedi-fangirl. Leave me a message. Tell me what you think about Rogue One. Also, go visit my blog, JediFangirl.com. I don't have a post in a little while. Last one I think I did was the review of Master and Apprentice, and I have since read Queen's Shadow. I'm going to do a review on it, and I'm also hoping to play a little bit more of Jedi Fallen Order and write about it as well. So look for that coming soon. Thanks for joining. We'll talk to you guys next week about Rogue One. Thanks for listening in, and as always, may the Force be with you. Mm-hmm.